Okay. Parshas Achrei Meis and Kedoshim. We're going to pick it up today where Shlishi opens. Shlishi Kishahin Mechubarim, the third reading conjoined, which in other years would have been Chamishi, the fifth reading, chapter 17, verse 8. Va'aleihem teimar ish ish mi beis Yisrael. This is really a continuation of what we learned yesterday. To them you should say, to each and every one from the house of Israel, umin hageir asher yogur b'seichem, and from the proselyte who will dwell amongst you, asher yala oila oy zavach, who will bring a sent offering or an ordinary zavach, which we would assume to be like a shlomim. So, with regard to the concept of karbonis, which we were talking about yesterday, asher yala oila izavach, Rashi tells us, asher yala, that it speaks about the concept of kares, on somebody who would bring a karbon, shecht an animal, outside of the Beis HaMikdash. And here, we're adding, not only are you not allowed to kill the animal, but furthermore, l'chayev al hamakter evarim b'chutz. Here we speak now about somebody who might take the parts of the animal that are usually brought as a korban, and he'll put them on the mizbeach, on an altar outside of the Beis HaMikdash, which in theory could happen. So that's also something which the Torah prohibits. Shim shachat echod v'hel echaveri. That if somebody were to slaughter the animal, and another were to then bring it onto a mizbeach, and this is outside of the Beis HaMikdash, shneim chayoven. Both of them would be held guilty and culpable. So yesterday we learned you're not allowed to slaughter an animal that's designated as an offering, as a korban outside the Beis HaMikdash. And today we're learning not only you're not allowed to slaughter such an animal, but if you slaughtered him in the Beis HaMikdash, but brought him onto an altar, a mizbeach, outside the Beis HaMikdash, that would also be a terrible thing to do. Why? As the pasuk continues. Ve'el Pesach ayol mayed lo yeviyena. And to the door or opening of the tent of meeting, which is a euphemism for the concept of the Mishkan, he doesn't bring this offering. Lases oisei, to bring it as a korban, v'nichras ha'ish hahu miyamav. This person would be cut off from his people. So it's very clear in the Torah that when it comes to the concept of korbanot, of offerings, that is not something which is open for everybody's own interpretation, or people to perform as they please, but rather a korban specifically is connected always to the physical area, the location of the Beis HaMikdash. And that's the only place that a Jew is permitted to involve in the concept of korbanot. Now, along the same theme, the Torah talks to us about the concept of blood of dam. Yesterday we learned that the blood must be dashed specifically on the Mizbeach. The ish ish from Beis Yisrael. So the Torah comes along now and tells us further, speaking once again to each and every member of the house of Israel. Uminager agor b'seicham, and the proselyte who dwells amongst them. Asher yoichal kol dam, who will consume any blood, says the Torah. V'nosati ponai b'nefesh oicheles, literally translates, I will place my face within the one who eats, in the soul of the one who eats that, who consumes es hadam, the blood. V'hichrati yisa mikerev ama, I will cut her off from amongst her people. That's pretty serious stuff. Whew. V'nichras. What does it mean, v'nichras? So already we have this concept coming up in verse 9. What does it mean, v'nichras me'am, if somebody cut away from his people? So Rashi says, zare nichras, v'yom av nichrasin, which means a person would die prematurely, his years would be cut off, and it also means, heaven forfend, that a person like that would bury their own children. A very bad thing. Don't do it. All right. So now, and specifically in verse 10, it says, kol dam, you're not allowed to eat any blood. What's up with this prohibition of blood? You can eat the animal, you can't drink his blood, or you can't eat the meat when it's saturated in blood. Why? Why is there such a big prohibition of not eating blood? So Rashi says, Lefisha Nemar, because we read, or we're going to read actually in the next verse, that benefesh yechaper, that the soul of the animal serves as an atonement. In other words, the concept of blood is the idea of the nefesh of the animal. So yochel lo yehechayov el hadama mikudoshim, you might have thought that the blood of an offering, the blood of a korban, is considered to be a nefesh, and the blood of a korban specifically can be used for a holy and a sacred purpose to bring about atonement. No, says Torah, that's not correct. It's not about the blood of the korban. Talmud Lemer Kol Dam. The blood is the notion of nefesh, and therefore one is not permitted to consume the blood ever. V'nasate ponai, I'll place my face. Rashi says, p'nai shali. This means the word ponai, which sounds like face, really is connected to the Hebrew word p'nai, or the Aramaic word, which means time. In other words, and that itself is connected to the idea of attention. Poina ani, mikol asokai, I will turn away from all the other things that I do, says Rashi, and oisek boi, I'll deal with this person alone. Now, of course, God doesn't get busy, and he can't get too busy to deal with other things anyway. Nonetheless, this is euphemism, just like we say Yad Hashem, the hand of God, just like we say that God's nostrils flared in anger. We use various anthropomorphisms to describe God, so we should be able to understand, so it should make some kind of sense to us. So here, the Torah is using not an anthropomorphism, because we're not talking about a specific body part per se, but we're talking about an what we would call a metaphor. So it's a metaphor, as if just like when you're busy and you say, you know what, I'm going to devote my time to this. This is something which I cannot overlook. And everything, all my wherewithal, all my energy, all my time is going to be devoted to dealing with this problem, dealing with this issue. God says, it's as if when you do this, I will devote myself to exacting payment, to punishing you for doing this. So clearly this is a very bad thing. So why do we use the word v'nasati panai? If the idea is of giving a face, it says face. Why do we say face? Why do we say face? We say means p'nai. Face means time, and time means p'ina ani. I'll direct my attention. It's like in triplicate. It's a whole domino effect. The Torah says face, which could be understood as p'nai, as time in Aramaic, back to Hebrew. P'ina ani, I turn away. So just say what you wanted to say. Why say it like through a whole circuitous fashion, which one word is going to suddenly lead to another word, which leads to another word. And from this, I come out with the interpretation. So Radak maintains that there's the concept of divine wrath. And he says, when a person is angry, where does anger show up? On the face. You ever see angry elbows? No, because there's no such thing. The elbows of a person don't change with anger. Person's face changes with anger. The color of the face changes with anger. The nostrils change with anger. The eyes change with anger. You can have angry eyes. You can have an angry nose. You can have an angry color. Even your emoticon on your iPhone. It's the angry face either has steam coming out of the nostrils, or it's got a very red face, or eyes that are in some way protruding. So this is the idea of anger. In other words, God wants to tell us ponai, p'nai, poine, all these things. But he uses the terminology face because there's this notion of God's anger when somebody consumes blood. Why is consuming blood so bad? The pasuk, the verse says, "Ki nefesh habasar badamhi," because the soul of the animal is said to be in the blood. Va'ani nasativ lachem, I did allow you to use that soul of the animal, but I gave it to you al hamizbeach, on the altar. And I gave it to you, lechaper al nafshaseichem. You can use the soul of the animal to atone for your own soul. Ki hadam hu benefesh yechaper. Because it is the blood that serves as an atonement for the soul. So you use soul to atone for soul, but not eating soul. So that would not be appropriate. Rashi says, nefesh ko basar. Nefesh ko basar, the soul of all flesh, this refers not specifically to animals, but rather shall kol beria, any living thing. Bedam hu tali. Everything needs blood. And that's what we would call euphemistically the lifeblood. Lefikach, therefore, nasatev al hamizbeach. It's precisely because every living creature needs blood and that life itself depends on plasma or blood. That's why I gave the blood to you and allowed you to use it on the mizbeach, lechaper al nefesh ha'adam. Because when you sin, you damage the soul of a human. You damage your human soul. Your human soul means your soul which is in the image of God. Since you damage your soul which is in the image of God, so when you are going to sin, the way you can overcome that sin is with the concept of the soul of the animal. Where's the soul of the animal found? Specifically in the blood. And therefore, to taste it, to consume it, to eat it would be inappropriate. Al kena marti, therefore I say livnei Yisrael, kol nefesh mikem, any soul amongst you, lo seichel dam, don't consume blood. V'hager agor b'seichachem, and the proselyte, the convert who lives amongst you, lo seichel dam, do not eat this blood, do not consume the blood. Kol nefesh mikem, says Rashi, what is kol nefesh? He already said that every person should need it. He already said in verse 11, ki nefesh abasa b'damu, and therefore, b'dam yechaper. And we already said in verse 10, v'nesate panai, that I'll place my face, my time. We already said, ish ish m'beis Yisrael. So why do you have to emphasize now in verse 12, al ken amarti levnei Yisrael, kol nefesh mikem, therefore I say to the children of Israel, with another emphasis, any soul of you. The Rashi tells us something very interesting. This is lahazir g'delim, alaktanim. This is speaking to the Jewish people who have reached the age of majority, what we would call bat and bar mitzvah, 12 years old for a woman, for a girl, and 13 for a boy. So, okay, fine, he or she is culpable because they are now at the age of majority, they've grown up. But how about a child eats blood? Is that my responsibility? Really, who cares? The child doesn't have, per se, a culpability, that's not answerable to God. The child does what the child does. No, wrong, says Torah. If it's a child, a Jewish child, eating that, then you, as a Jewish major, have an obligation towards that individual. In other words, the damning effect of consuming blood would be equal for children and for adults. And therefore, it's your responsibility to ensure kol nefesh mikem, no soul amongst you, should not consume the blood of an animal. With regard to this prohibition, we have a very interesting idea that's articulated by the Ramban. Ramban says that because the nefesh, because the soul is in the blood, and because God did not permit us to take souls altogether, we were permitted in this terrestrial world to absorb or consume things which didn't have a soul. In fact, initially, Noach and his people, really not Noach, but Adam and Chava, all the way to the time of Noach, were not allowed to kill anything. Any animal, not to kill vegetation, but not allowed to kill animals because it's a nefesh. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu expects us to treat the nefesh with reverence. It's supposed to be reverential towards life, any kind of life. It's not murder if you kill an animal, but it's still life. And therefore it has to be taken seriously and it has to be treated reverentially. And even after the mabul, when we're permitted to take the life of an animal purposefully, not for sport hunting, just to take the life. That's a terrible thing. Huh? Consumption. Yeah, there's a need for it. You could do something with it. Even then, even after HaKadosh Baruch Hu allowed us to actually consume animals, he said you can eat the animal, but you can't eat the soul. And since the blood becomes a representation, it's iconic and emblematic of the soul itself, therefore it cannot be eaten. And the Ramban says further, he says that the dam, that the blood, which is in the nefesh of the animal soul, if it mixes, if a human being consumes that blood, what happens to it? And what happens to all food, really, that we eat? Eventually, through the process of digestion, everything we eat eventually becomes a part of us. What does it become a part of us? In what way? Everything is actually turned into blood. Everything, it enters the bloodstream. Anything we eat will eventually enter the bloodstream. If we eat poisonous things, we'll go to the bloodstream more quickly. The interesting thing is that alcohol enters the bloodstream much, much more quickly than other things. Why? Because your body has a capacity. And after a certain time when the body can't deal with the capacity anymore, your liver has overload, what does it do? It sends the alcohol directly to the brain, which is why drinking gets you crazy, because it right away starts affecting the brain. Everything eventually gets to the brain, but usually the body has capacity to absorb very large amounts of food until it actually starts affecting your brain. When it comes to alcohol, however, the body has a relatively small capacity. So some people have more capacity, some people have less capacity. Depends how affected their liver is and how much liver could absorb. Well, the liver can't absorb anymore. It can't purify this as quickly enough, so it just sends it off straight to the brain. And that's when people lose inhibition and all kinds of other interesting things that happen. At any rate, what happens when you consume blood?
It goes right into your blood.
It mixes with your blood virtually instantaneously. There is no digestive process. So when you consume blood, people who consume blood actually feel a rush of energy. Their blood is enriched immediately. However, Ramban says, when animal blood becomes part of your blood instantaneously, animal blood is injected into your blood, then the blood, which contains the soul, also contains characteristics. And that makes you into an animalistic person. You acquire animalistic traits. And he says one of the things that animals have is cruelty. Animals don't have sensitivity. You don't go over to the lion who's ripping an antelope to pieces and say, you know, Mr. Lion, well, be compassionate towards the antelope. Maybe first shecht him painlessly. Don't just eat at his kishkas when the poor thing is writhing in pain. The lion has no clue what you're talking about. Why? He doesn't know. The concept of compassion is a human construct. He doesn't know what that means. When you eat the blood of an animal, then in turn, you ingest and internalize its cruelty and its indifference.
Why was there a necessity to explain this concept through korbanot and redeeming a soul through a soul? Because this is a halacha for posterity. It's not just for the time.
That is a good question. That's a very good question. Hold that thought. The question you're asking is, so why do we have to link the two mitzvahs? Why do we have to talk about offerings and then talk about the prohibition of consuming?
Or it leads you to believe that it's only applicable to the time of the Beit HaMikdash as opposed to...
Well, it doesn't exactly lead you to believe it's only applicable there, but let's think of it this way. The notion that we can use an animal altogether is what we call a chiddush. That's a novelty. The beginning of the time of the world's creation, we're not allowed to use animals. You can ride the animal. You can use the animal to police your house and get rid of your cat. You use the cat to get rid of the mice, but you couldn't eat the animal, right? Torah comes along and says we're allowed to eat certain animals. Torah says saying we can use certain animals. In fact, we can use these animals to obtain pardon, an atonement from our HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Say, one second. Yes, pardon you can atone, but there's a certain part of the animal that the only thing you can use it for is to obtain pardon from Hashem, but you cannot abuse it. You cannot use it or abuse it by consuming it. We're talking about different uses of blood, basically. So the Torah doesn't just say blood is off limits, can't use it. So this actually blood of the animal could be used in a very profound and a powerful way. And that's on the Mizbeach. Only on the Mizbeach. And then the Torah comes along and says, and therefore, you should know blood cannot be eaten. But we're soon going to, I know what you're asking, we're soon going to address it. So the Torah goes further and says, what happens? The ish ishrim they saw a member of the Jewish people in Agera Gerbesuch, somebody who dwells amongst you, as a yotzid seid chaya, who is going to capture a wild, undomesticated animal for the purposes, I suppose, of eating it. So it's kosher animals are not only cows, goats, and sheep. Those are the only kosher domesticated animals that we call in Hebrew behema. But there's also called a chaya, which are the wild, undomesticated animals. What's the most famous example of that?
A deer.
The deer, they don't grow in a corral, you know. They're not like domesticated little animal that let you milk them and you pet them, bring a petting zoo of deer. It doesn't work like that. You see deer sometimes around. What do they do as soon as human beings come? They run like the wind. People say run like a deer. So the deer, the only way to get it is to actually capture it. So we say now, Ishub Neisol, Ben Ager, Agar Besechem, Asher Yotzut, Seid Chayo, that you capture this living animal, Asher Yochel, when you eat it, V'shafach his dama, you have to spill his blood. Meaning, don't use it. But the blood will be spilled, v'chiso be'afar. You cover it over with earth, with soil. Why do you cover it with soil? Verse 14 says, ki nefesh kol basar b'nafshir b'dami b'nafshihu. Because the soul of every animal, where's the soul found? The soul is found inside the blood. And since the soul is found in the blood, what should you do with it? You should cover it. Hey, one second. In verse 12 and verse 13, really in verse 11, we talked about the idea that blood could be used only in the Mizbeach. And because blood could be used only in the Mizbeach, I cannot consume it. Now in verse 14, I'm hearing a new idea. Now I'm hearing that not only can a person not consume the blood, but that certain animals, you have to cover the blood. So how come some animals you have to cover the blood? And some animals, you just don't eat the blood. So when it comes to the undomesticated or wild animals, which incidentally would include not only chaya, but also oif, a bird. We say va'imar libnei Yisrael dam kol basar. There's the blood of all flesh. Lo yisaychelu, you shouldn't eat. Ki nefesh kol basar dam ayhu, because the soul is it's in its blood. Kol eichalav, whoever eats it, Yikardis will get cut off from his people. So now I went back to the prohibition of eating the blood, but in between we interjected with this prohibition, not of eating, of covering. A positive mitzvah, not a prohibition, but a responsibility, a mitzvah to cover the blood. Why do we have to cover the blood? And why some blood doesn't have to be covered, and some blood does have to be covered? So in order to understand this, Let's take a look inside. In the Biur HaChumash here, the Rebbe quotes a Ramban. Page Reish Nun Dalet. Incidentally, Reish Nun Dalet, Simen Yud Ches. Incidentally, the Ramban is not the only one who shares this idea. This idea is also found in the Rivash, and it's also found at greater length articulated in the Kli Yakar. So, the Bechor Sher was a Rishon, and then the Kli Yakar developed this idea, and it says, Sivtza l'chase is called dam b'chayev ha'if. The Torah has ordained, it commanded us that we should cover all the blood with an undomesticated animal, the chaya, and with the oif. Why? Because its blood cannot be brought on the Mizbeach. Avol the behemoth. But the behemoth, which is most of the animals, Reiv Hametsuyin, most animals that are kosher, Nishchotin, L'shem HaNechbod, are brought as an offering before the honored God. And therefore, V'domam L'chaper, so its blood is concealed. Its blood is used for atonement. And therefore, it's not appropriate for us to cover it over. What is the Ramban saying? So with the chaya, with the wild animal, no antelopes or deer or giraffe ever make it onto the Mizbeach. Because a korban, an offering in the Mizbeach, can only be brought of one of four. Either one of three, really. Behema, which a cow / ox, the ram, or the sheep, and then the idea of the goat. Those are the three, all korbanos are brought one of those three kinds. There's no other korbanos, no other offerings that are brought. Those are called behema.
Bird is.
So this question is asked. But so the answer is a bird. There are so many species of birds, and only two kinds of birds are brought. So it's as if all the birds really aren't brought, because the vast majority aren't. What's the connection? What's the connection between these animals are brought as offerings to the blood? Doesn't have to be covered. But these animals are not brought as offerings, so the blood does have to be covered. So like the Kli Yakar says, he says, because it's brought in the Mizbeach, we already know to be keep it off limits. It's like understood already. People, Jewish people know, this is brought to the Mizbeach. Because brought to the Mizbeach, that's something that's off limits. But the other animal is not brought as a korban, so then it's not so off limits. And there, we would make the mistake of consuming or eating it. That's how the Kli Yakar explains the Ramban and the Bechor Sher. The Rebbe says, "Mendivrei Haramban, from the words of the Ramban, Nimtzer comes out, she mitzvahs kisui adam, that the mitzvah of covering the blood noivas mitafkidei hamiyuchet shel adam, is linked and connected specifically to the special use, to the unique designate of blood, which you asked before, Nathan. Why do we have this connection? Why the continuation? Why does one thing lead into the next? Talk about offerings, then the prohibition of eating blood, and then we finally conclude with the idea of the blood that's not only forbidden for consumption, but also has to be covered, right? This is today's class about this bloody cover-up. Why do we have to make the bloody cover-up? The Red Bull can't drink his blood, but the wild turkey, you actually have to cover him. Understand? That's the... So me'acha shebechaya v'oif, because when it comes to the undomesticated animal and the bird, tafkid ishal adam, any yochel level de mimush, it cannot come to some kind of use, because the dam of the chaya and the oif, eini roi lahakrovo ala mizbeach, because the animal and the bird will not be brought onto the mizbeach, cannot be used to obtain atonement. So yes, the salik elovatlas adam ayde kisib offer. In that case, it can't be used for atonement. Cover it over with dirt. Why? What's the explanation? What's really the link between one and the other? So the Kli Yakar answers. He says because we're doing these things to make sure we don't come to violate the prohibition of consumption. Because certain animals we wouldn't feel as uncomfortable because it's not brought in the mizbeach. So therefore, we would feel a little more comfortable with consuming the blood. So that's why we have to have an extra stringency. I have this idea, by the way, in the Rishonim, they asked the question, why is it that chametz on Pesach is not only prohibited for consumption, but you're not even allowed to benefit? In fact, you're not even allowed to own it. And the answer that's given is because we're very comfortable with chametz the whole year. We have chametz on the table the whole year. It's only 1 week a year that it's prohibited. So when there's something which you're comfortable with, we have to go to the extra mile to make sure we don't come to end up eating it. Something that we're not comfortable with, like pork, which is never permissible for a Jew. So the Torah says, you want to benefit. It's not, there's no sin. You want to own a pork? There's no sin if you own pork meat. You didn't get into trouble. There's a rabbinic prohibition that we shouldn't involve ourselves in business with non-kosher meat because then we get comfortable with it. Again, it goes back to the notion of comfort zone. So he says, here we're not comfortable with regard to the blood of the animal because it's already on the Mizbeach. It's already off limits. Oh, that belongs to God. That's a Mizbeach thing. That's a ritual thing. But the animal, we don't have that idea of ritual. So Rebbe now offers us a marvelous lesson in Avodas Hashem, in our service of God. So you think this is just a business that was relevant once upon a time? Not so. It's very similar to what we learned about yesterday. Hadam misamel asachayis ve'eslavos. The blood represents the animation, the energy, the what we call hot, boiling blood. It's the idea of blood represents life itself. Life is represented by the color and the notion of blood. Blood, it pulsates with blood. It pulsates with life. And somebody sometimes has, so to speak, moments of extreme exertion. What do you see? You see all of a sudden they're flushed. There's more, the blood rushes to their face. When something that happens that, so to speak, bestirs them, wakes them up, gets them going, you see, getting the blood going.
It's a passion.
So what is the meaning then of the Mashmos HaRuchnis? What is the spiritual concept of dashing blood in the Mizbeach? It means taking your passion and dedicating it to Avodas Hashem. Should you have passion in life? Certainly. The question is, how should your passion be channeled? And the Torah answer is, channel your passion towards your prayer, towards your Torah study, towards your excitement and exuberance in doing a mitzvah, a favor for somebody else. Doing mitzvahs, that's where your passion should be. Now, kasha meduber l'umazes, what if we speak about in yonim shechulim? Everyday things. This is the metaphorized as the blood of the animal who can end up on the mizbeach, or the bird. She'einam nitonam al mizbeach, then I get brought on the mizbeach. So what happens then with the passion? So the Torah comes along and says, there's a chayva, there's an obligation, l'chasei, says Adam. This passion has to be covered over with soil. In other words, kileimer la'asei sel l'chayis v'eslav is gluya. That passion has to be kept, so to speak, under the wraps. That passion doesn't have to be expressed. Where should a Yid express his or her passion? With Yiddishkeit. But when it comes to the passions of other things, those passions should be muted. Because a chayis v'hislavos, passion is an amazing thing. But passion should be harnessed, channeled, and used specifically for Yiddishkeit things. And that's why, how do we cover the blood? We say we cover it with offer. What does offer represent? What does dust represent?
Haughty.
The opposite of haughtiness. The opposite. It represents humility. It lets Avraham Avinu, when he wanted to, so to speak, articulate his feelings of inadequacy and humility, what did he say? Va'anoichi, I am offer va'efer. He said, I'm just dust. Just dust. It's not about me. So the way we can mute, the way we can inhibit the passions, which would be for things that are outside of the Avodas Hashem, of serving God, outside of goodness and righteousness and holiness, passion which is really unnecessary. How do we mute that? By covering it over with a sense of humility. So if life's about self-gratification, sensual libido, self-pursuit, that's where your passion is. But if life's about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, live a God-centric life, when it comes to things which I'm getting carried away from my own personal needs, my own personal use, my own personal fetishes, what do? You throw some dirt on it. You remind yourself of an Echi of Efer. You bring humility into your life. And by bringing humility into your life, your passions can be directed and channeled appropriately towards matters of holiness, towards matters of serving Hashem, and doing things which are good and righteous. And that's the bloody cover-up.